decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host. It is Friday, February 4th, 2022. Ready for the weekend? Yes, I've got a busy weekend. You probably do too. Does anybody never have a busy weekend? It seems to be a long time since I've just sat back and done nothing. Although I think I had a couple of days like that during Christmas break, but how quickly they fade from the memories. We're looking at our day planners and looking at how rapidly the days and weeks fill up. I drove the junior high girls last night up to, over to Drummond, east of here, and they played a couple of games. And then today I'm driving the high school boys and girls up to Plains. So I'll have four games tonight, two JV and two varsity. So tonight might be a late night. And then got plans for the weekend and all sorts of stuff happening. And those plans, of course, include going to church on Sunday. I hope yours do as well. Please, if your plans do not include going to church on Sunday, you need to change your plans. Church is important. And I know there are legitimate reasons every now and again to miss church, but those should be exceptions. Most Sundays should find you in church under the teaching of the Word of God, fellowshipping with the saints. That's God's pattern for his people. So that was, do not forsake together the gathering. Do not forsake the gathering together with each other, as some are wont to do. We should not do that. We should gather regularly with fellow believers to worship God and to hear his word proclaimed and to learn and grow and to fellowship. Do that on Sunday. I pray that you will. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. Head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great podcasts that are over there. I have no idea what's been posted this week. As I said, it's been a really busy week, so I haven't had a chance to look and listen to even some of my regulars. I've seen some of my regulars have posted stuff, but I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. But I'll get that taken care of soon, too. But head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. You can find something worth listening to. Trust me, they're all good, some of them are going to align with your interests. So find those and listen to them, and be edified and be entertained and all be informed. All of that. Well, here on Squirrel Chatter, we are committed to the public reading of Scripture. We are reading through the entire Bible in the Legacy Standard Bible Translation, and our scriptures today are going to be Exodus 13 through 15, Psalm 114, and Ephesians 3. And after we're done with that, I got some Today in History nuggets for us to talk about. And probably be a little bit shorter episode today because, like I said, I've got a bus trip this afternoon, had one last night. I've got some stuff here to do before I take off to get the bus ready. I had an incident last night where one of the parents came up to me. I'm sitting there cheering on the girls, and one of the parents came up to me and said, "Which daughter is yours? Or which player is your daughter?" And I had to say that they're all mine because I'm the bus driver. So I thought most of the parents knew me, but apparently she hadn't figured out who I was yet. Who is this guy that keeps showing up at the games? He knows all the girls. He's cheering for them by name. He's having a good time. He's paying attention. They all know him. What's going on? Who is this guy? Yeah, he's the bus driver. May your student have a bus driver who cares about them half as much as I care about my kids, because I have a good time driving that bus, and I really like it. Like this year, where it works out, where I kind of become a team's primary driver. The fact that I'm driving the junior high girls, and I've driven them every week since the beginning of the season. So I'm kind of their bus driver, which is really nice because there's a consistency of getting to know the kids and having a good time with them. And I've been looking forward to that. I've been enjoying that. And I drive them again next week. I was supposed to drive them Saturday, but that got canceled out. So I made other plans since I suddenly had a free day. And so I got stuff to do tomorrow, too. All right, well, let's get going. We're going to start with our prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. First is a prayer of confession, and then we'll have a prayer for the reading of the Word. Then we will read the Word. Then we will recite the Apostles' Creed, and then we will have a prayer asking for God's grace on today to end up our time in the Word. Before we get to those nuggets of history, there's some interesting things happened today in history. I get an email talking about that every morning, and I don't normally bring it to the program, but sometimes it's like, huh, I remember that. So today we're going to talk about some of those things. All right. Our prayer of confession. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Now our prayer for the reading of the Word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Exodus, chapters 13 through 15. Chapter 13. Again, reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast, it belongs to me. And Moses said to the people, Remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery. For by a mighty hand Yahweh brought you out from this place. And nothing leavened shall be eaten. This day in the month of Abib, you are going out. And it shall be when Yahweh brings you to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall do this service in this month. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to Yahweh. Unleavened bread shall be eaten throughout the 7 days, and nothing leavened shall be seen among you, nor shall any leaven be seen among you in all your borders. And you shall tell your son on that day, saying, It is because of what Yahweh did for me when I came out of Egypt. And it will be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of Yahweh may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand Yahweh brought you out of Egypt. Therefore you shall keep this statute at its appointed time from year to year. And it will be when Yahweh brings you to the land of the Canaanite, as he swore to you and to your fathers, and gives it to you, and you shall devote to Yahweh the first offspring of every womb, and the first offspring of every beast that you own. The males belong to Yahweh. But every first offspring of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. But if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And it will be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, What is this? Then you shall say to him, With a strong hand Yahweh brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. And it happened, when Pharaoh hardened his heart with stiffness about letting us go, that Yahweh killed every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to Yahweh the males, the first offspring of every womb, but every firstborn of sons I redeem. So it will be as a sign on your hand and as phylacteries between your eyes, for with a strong hand Yahweh brought us out of Egypt. Now it happened that when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not guide them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence God turned the people to the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up in battle array from the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall bring up my bones from here with you. Then they set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And Yahweh was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to guide them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might go by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Chapter 14. Now Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, so that they turn back and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite it by the sea. And Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering in confusion in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart with strength, and he will pursue them. And I will be glorified through Pharaoh and all his army, so that the Egyptians will know that I am Yahweh. And they did so. Then the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was changed towards the people. And they said, what is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made his chariot ready and took his people with him. And he took 600 choice chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. And Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, with strength. And he pursued the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out with an exalted hand. Then the Egyptians pursued them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army. And they overtook them, camping by the sea, beside Pi-Hahiroth, in front of Baal Zephon. Now Pharaoh drew near, and the sons of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very afraid. So the sons of Israel cried out to Yahweh. Then they said to Moses, is it because there was no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What is this you have done against us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than for us to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Yahweh will fight for you, and you will keep silent. Then Yahweh said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Speak to the sons of Israel so that they go forward. As for you, raise up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and split it. And the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. As for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians with strength, so that they will go in after them. And I will be glorified through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am Yahweh when I am glorified through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen. Then the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yahweh swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea into dry ground, so that the waters were split. So the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Then the Egyptians pursued them. And all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen went in after them into the midst of the sea. Then, at the morning watch, Yahweh looked down on the camp of the Egyptians, through the pillar of fire and cloud, and brought the camp of the Egyptians into confusion. And he caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for Yahweh is fighting for them against the Egyptians." Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots and their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak, while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then Yahweh overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them remained. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus Yahweh saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Then Israel saw the great hand which Yahweh had used against the Egyptians, and the people feared Yahweh, and they believed in Yahweh and in his servant Moses. Chapter 15. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to Yahweh and said, "I will sing to Yahweh, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. Yah is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will extol him. Yahweh is a warrior, Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea, and the choicest of his officers are sunk in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Yahweh, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Yahweh, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of your exaltation, you pull down those who rise up against you. You send forth your burning anger, and it devours them as chaff. And at the blast of your nostrils, the waters were piled up. The flowing waters stood up like a heap. The deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, 'I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be fulfilled against them. I will draw out my sword, and my hand will dispossess them.' You blew with your wind, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you among the gods, O Yahweh? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, fearsome in praise, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. In your loving kindness you have guided the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength you have led them to your holy habitation. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Anguish has seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. The leaders of Moab, trembling seizes them. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. By the greatness of your arm, they are still as stone, until your people pass over, O Yahweh. Until the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Yahweh, which you have made for you to inhabit. The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. Yahweh shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, and Yahweh brought back the waters of the sea on them. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing. And Miriam answered them, 'Sing to Yahweh, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea.' Then Moses had Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And they came to Marah. And they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried out to Yahweh, and Yahweh showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he set for them a statute and a judgment, and there he tested them. And he said, "If you will earnestly listen to the voice of Yahweh your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I put on the Egyptians, for I, Yahweh, am your healer." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. The 114th Psalm. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, and the Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What disturbs you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like rams? O hills, like lambs? Tremble, O earth, before the Lord, before the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, a flint into a spring of water. Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, if indeed you heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before you in brief, about which, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promises in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given, to proclaim to the Gentiles the good news of the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for all what was the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my afflictions on your behalf, which are your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would give you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being firmly rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or understand, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. Well, I said I wanted to get to some today in history nuggets. And, excuse me. Sorry. So, some interesting things happened today. Some major, some minor. And, of course, this is not an exhaustive list. I actually looked at four websites and just kind of picked a few things that I wanted to mention. So, one interesting thing was today in 1906, the New York Police Department first began using fingerprint identification. 1906. Now, think about that. That is only, 115 years ago? 116 years ago? That's not that long of a time. For thousands of years, we didn't have the kind of investigative tools that are available to the police today. Think about that. You know, think about what would you do in 1894 if you found somebody dead, obviously murdered, shot or stabbed or whatever, and there were no witnesses. How would you solve that murder? You probably wouldn't. There was a time when people could get away with murder. If there were no witnesses, and if there was no reason to think that a particular person had done it, it would be awfully hard to figure out who did it. But today in 1906, the NYPD began using fingerprint identification. Also today, in 1945, the Big Three, Winston Churchill, Franklin Roosevelt, and Joseph Stalin, met at Yalta in the Crimea, part of the Soviet Union at the time, now part of Ukraine, to begin making plans for post-war Europe. One of those plans was for the United Nations. Quite frankly, it was never a good idea. I wish we weren't part of it, but be that as it may, they were just at the tail end of a horrible war, and they wanted to do whatever they could to promote peace and hope to not have to get into a war like that again. And so they were going to start the United Nations after the war as a place for, you know, permanent and continuing diplomacy between nations, where everybody would keep talking to each other, supposedly, and they could work out all their problems without going to war over it. And Joseph Stalin said, "That's fine, put me down for 14 votes. And there he says, 14 votes? Why do you get 14 votes? He says, "Well, this is the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, and there are 14 Soviet Socialist Republics in this union, and each of them should get a vote, so we should get 14 votes." To which Franklin Delano Roosevelt reportedly replied something along the line of, "Yeah, that's fine. Put me down for 48. Because at the time, the United States had 48 states. And Stalin apparently quickly backpedaled, and they ended up with one vote each. I thought that was a good story the first time I heard that. In 1789, George Washington was elected the first president of the United States by a unanimous vote of the first electoral college. 1789, first president of the United States. And then I saw this one. This is actually what caught my attention this morning. It's the Patty Hearst kidnapping. I was 9 years old. This happened in 1974. And so I remember this. This was a big news story. Patty Hearst was 19 years old, college student at Berkeley, but she was one of the heirs of William Randolph Hearst, the newspaper publisher. And this was back at a time when newspapers were profitable and newspaper owners could be very wealthy men. William Randolph Hearst was the newspaper publisher, and his granddaughter is kidnapped from her apartment in Berkeley by three armed strangers. Her fiancé, who was there at the time, was beaten up and tied up. And there was a neighbor also who tried to help, who was beaten up and tied up. And witnesses reported seeing her struggling, being carried away, blindfolded, and stuffed in the trunk of a car that then drove off. Nobody had any idea what had happened. 3 days later, a group called the Symbionese Liberation Army, the SLA, which was a small, I think they had 9 members, you know, 9 or 10 members, a small group of communists who were working towards a communist revolution in the United States. They were not alone. There were a lot of these groups around in the late 60s, early 70s, the Weather Underground, others. And the sad thing is that many in the American left still hold them up as heroes. They were not. Interesting aside, there used to be, Mrs. Squirrel and I were talking the other day about an old Roger Moore movie called Folks, where he was a British, there's a special air service, special boat service, the Navy, the British version of the Navy SEALs, the special boat service. And he was a retired special boat service person living alone in a dilapidated castle in Scotland with hundreds of cats. But the story was that these North Sea oil platforms had been taken over by terrorists. And today, when we think of terrorists, we think of Islamic terrorists, because the vast majority of the terrorism in the world these days is done by Islamicists. You know, from 9/11, everything that's happened since then, our focus has been very much on Islamic terrorism. Not so in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Most of the time in the 60s and 70s and 80s, when I heard about terrorism, apart from, we did have the Palestinian terrorists in, I believe, the 74 Olympics, where the Palestinians kidnapped and murdered most or all of the Israeli team. I don't have the details in front of me. And so we've had Arab terrorist events take place. But we also had all of these terrorist groups across Europe that were funded by the Soviet Union. They were communist terrorists working to destabilize Western democracies for a potential communist takeover. And that included, and I have Irish friends who are going to get upset, but that included the IRA. The IRA was free Ireland, get the English out of Ireland. They had a mantra and a cause, but they were funded heavily by the Soviet Union. And they were used as a leftist tool to destabilize the United Kingdom. And that's just a fact of history. And if that upsets you, I'm sorry, but this is true. Well, you also had the Bader-Meinhof gang. You had the Red Brigade. These were groups across Europe. And we would hear about bombings and shootings and stuff that were done by these groups across Europe. Very scary stuff. And that we also had these groups in the United States. I said we had the Weather Underground, we had a few others, some bigger, some smaller, and we had the Symbionese Liberation Army that few people had heard of until they kidnapped Patty Hearst, the heiress of this group. And they announced it by sending the heiress of William Randolph Hearst. They announced it by sending a letter to a Berkeley radio station. They said that Patty Hearst was a prisoner of war, because they looked at themselves as at war against capitalism and at war against the United States. And so Patty Hearst was a prisoner of war. And then they demanded, you know, I mean, all sorts of stuff that the Hearst family donate $70 worth of food to every needy family in Southern California. Stuff like that. You know, and Hearst actually gave away $20 million worth of food, and they said that's not enough. They asked for another $6 million, and Hearst said he would pay it if Patty Hearst was released unharmed. But in April, because this was February, right, that she was kidnapped, the first part of February, so this went on for months. In April, everything changed because all of a sudden there was footage from a bank robbery, because the SLA was robbing banks to support themselves, really, and fund their rebellion. They were robbing a bank in San Francisco, and there on screen holding a gun participating in the bank robbery was Patty Hearst. And so now all of a sudden she was also spotted at a robbery in Los Angeles and everything. And then she sent a tape to the authorities, an audio tape, saying that she had joined the SLA of her own free will. Well, in the middle of May of 1974, the LAPD raided the SLA's secret headquarters. They found out where they were, and they sent in, and I believe this was one of the early SWAT raids. I think the police forces having SWAT teams was brand new about this time. If I remember right, LAPD was the first one. I could be wrong about that. I'd have to go back and look. But in the middle of May, they found out where the SLA was hiding, and they raided their hideout, and they killed six people. Remember, there's only like 9 or 10. And among the dead was the leader, who called himself General Field Marshal Sink. His real name was Donald DeFries. He was an ex-con. But Patty Hearst and two other SLA members who had been wanted for that April bank robbery in San Francisco were not there. Then in September of 1975, this is a year and a half later, after being spotted all over the country, Patty Hearst was captured in a San Francisco apartment and arrested for armed robbery. Now, her claim was that she had been brainwashed by the SLA, but despite this, she was convicted and sentenced to 7 years in prison. She served 21 months before her sentence was commuted by President Carter, and then in 2001, President Bill Clinton pardoned her and everything. But I mean, just a weird historical event that made a big splash in the news for almost 2 years was the kidnapping of and then conversion to communism of this young college student who happened to be the grandchild of a very wealthy man. And I think there's a lot of, I wonder really what if she was in on it from the beginning, if it was staged, if it was she was a communist sympathizer. I mean, she was a college student in Berkeley in 74. The fact of her being a communist sympathizer would not be too far-fetched. So I've always wondered if she was in on it from the beginning. Or if, as she claimed, they brainwashed her and turned her into a communist terrorist through, she claimed to have been beaten and tortured and sexually abused, and maybe that's what happened. I don't know. I tend to think that probably went a little bit deeper than that, but with the money that her family had, Trust me, a lot of it was covered up. And she was not the only member of one of these leftist terrorist groups from the 60s and 70s that had permeated the United States that was pardoned by Bill Clinton. As I said, many of these people are considered heroes by today's left, which is very, very scary. All right, we got a few notable birthdays. German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was born on this day in 1906. Of course, he was put to death by the Nazis in 1945. Dan Quayle, who was Vice President of the United States and not nearly as stupid as the press made him out to be, was born today, in 1947. Horror movie great George Romero, Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead, great classics. He's the creator of the modern zombie movie. It's George Romero. He was born today in 1940. He just passed away a few years ago in 2017. Liberace was born in 1919. Charles Lindbergh, the first to fly across the Atlantic in 1927, was born on this day in 1902. During the days leading up to World War II, it actually turned out that he was a communist or a Nazi sympathizer. It definitely tarnishes his accomplishments. But he was, that's another story for another time. But he flew solo across the Atlantic in May of 1927. All by himself across the Atlantic for hours. It was funny. I've been going back and rereading some of the stuff on the space program in the 1960s. And one of the books I read recounted an encounter when Charles Lindbergh, then in his 70s, I think, we're talking about the 1960s. He was born almost 1902. Yeah, so he would have been in his 60s. And he's visiting NASA and talking to the astronauts, and they're looking at the Saturn V rocket, which you think about how much bigger that was than the Spirit of St. Louis airplane that he flew across the Atlantic and everything. And he's asked him, he said, how much fuel are you going to burn? And the first stage, if I remember correctly, burned like 20,000 pounds of fuel a second. If I'm remembering right, I'd have to look up the exact numbers, but it's something like a huge amount of fuel. You're just astonished, 20,000 pounds of fuel in a second. Or maybe it's a minute. I don't know. I'd have to go look. But Lindbergh reportedly said that, so in the first second, you'll burn like 30 times the amount of fuel it took me to cross the Atlantic in 1927. That's an interesting thing. And today, in 1913, Rosa Parks was born, who refused to comply with the rules that African Americans had to sit in the back of the bus. She was tired. It was the end of the day. She got in. She sat down. Now the rules were, she was fine as long as there was no white people who wanted her seat. It was at a subsequent stop where some white people got on and she did not move for them. And that was when the trouble started. And quite frankly, she shouldn't have had to move. It was a horrible, horrible law and led to the Montgomery bus boycott, where the city buses learned that they made a great deal of their revenue from African American passengers. And that didn't last long because all of a sudden they were losing huge amounts of money. And this was back in a day when I think the fares paid on the bus actually helped support the bus line or did support the bus line. I know most of the buses today, the money you put in the meter doesn't do much. Most of the time, those buses are supported by tax dollars. They don't make a profit and haven't had in a long time. But I think during the civil rights era, during the 60s, they were probably making some money on passengers. So that bus boycott hurt them because all of a sudden people weren't riding the bus, and that was an issue. So Rosa Parks, by refusing to comply, was the spark that started the civil rights era, which did away with a lot of unjust laws that had actually persisted since the Civil War. The Civil War had ended slavery, but it didn't end racism. And of course, racism still exists today. I think it's a lot less than a lot of people make it out to be. I don't think it's the systemic problem that people say it is, but it certainly is still a problem in some areas, and it's certainly a problem in some people's hearts, and that needs to be addressed. I just don't think the way it's being addressed is necessarily the best way to address it. And quite frankly, I don't believe that the civil rights leadership has any true desire to end the problem. Because if they actually ended the problem, then they'd be out of a job, and they make a lot of money on this. There was just a report the other day that Black Lives Matter, an expose came out on the money that has been donated to Black Lives Matter over the last 2 years that has just disappeared. It's certainly not being spent on any kind of legitimate civil rights work. It's lining the pockets of the leadership of the organization. And I think a lot of it's been funneled to the Democrat Party. But when this expose came out, Black Lives Matter shut down their websites and shut down their fundraising and just went silent. They just vanished. They're taking the money and running. They're just gone. They took all that money and they're vanishing into the wind. And you're not going to hear about Black Lives Matter as an organization for very much longer, because their days are done. They've made their money and they're getting out. So think about that. Think about that the next time the media tries to get you all fired up about something. It's like, why are they trying to fire me up about this? How are they manipulating me, and why? And quite frankly, I think most media these days on both sides of the aisle is manipulation and propaganda. I don't know that. And I mean, I have news organizations that I watch and news organizations that I read, even that are quote unquote allied with my political philosophy and my political belief. But even then, I'm like, I want to see numbers. I want to see facts. I want to understand in detail, because I know that, you know, the people on both sides of the aisle are post-Genesis 3 fallen humans who are prone to sin, prone to dishonesty, prone to selfishness, prone to self-promotion, all the things that that happen on one side of the aisle happen on the other. I think that's one of the things that the last few years has been a big eye-opener, is the level of corruption in both major parties in Washington, D.C., and quite frankly, something needs to be done about it. And I think we'd start with term limits. Start by term limiting Congress. People aren't supposed to be there 30, 40, 50 years in Congress. That was never the founders' intent. It's not a good idea. They become a ruling class. They become entitled to their power and privilege in their own hearts, and it leads to serious abuses of power, and we need to check that. So that's just some thoughts on a Friday as we finish up our week of Squirrel Chatter. I'll go ahead and check off week 5 on our checklist here. And we will start week 6 on Monday morning. I hope you're with us then when the next Squirrel Chatter episode comes along. Until then, do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. Go to church on Sunday, and we'll see you here on Monday for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.